Good afternoon. My name is Tequila Evans, and I'll be talking to you a bit today about including doulas in the process of encouraging breastfeeding among African American and Hispanic women, adolescents. And I don't have any financial disclosures to claim. Yeah, and I also wanted to just introduce one other person, Dr. Donna Ellison. She's employed at Georgia Campaign for Adolescent Pregnancy Prevention, and we've worked with them to do this project. So let me first start by acknowledging GCAP as well as Families First and HRSA, who is the primary funder for this project. And also a special thanks to the doulas who go out and do this work every day. It's Hanifa Rios, Catherine Imes, Panchita Ridley, Maria Ordaz, and Erica Ortiz. So basically, there are two major learning objectives. I just want to talk a bit about how this methodology has been employed among adolescent mothers in the Metro Atlanta area to encourage breastfeeding as well as maternal and child outcomes, as well as to talk about some social and some structural determinants of breastfeeding in this community. So I'm sure, as you all know, breastfeeding rates are lower among adolescent mothers compared to older moms. And some explanations for that may be just general lack of knowledge about breastfeeding, but also negative attitudes toward breastfeeding, particularly in public. As you all know, teens are very adept to opinions of others. Also, limited skills and resources to enhance breastfeeding, and then negative attitudes from others, not only in the public, but also people whose opinions they care about. So, as a result, there is a pressing need to advocate for health education, particularly in this way, to begin to speak to a low-cost and highly effective strategy to increase breastfeeding. So, a bit of information about the context under which this methodology was employed, as well as a conceptual framework. So this is the logic model that we use, and I don't expect everyone to read every word here, but I just wanted to point out, as you can see by the orange arrows, that that breastfeeding is specifically covered within the curriculum of this community-based doula program, and it is one of the outcomes that we anticipate as a result of this and other activities over the course that we intervene with our young girls. And so just a bit about the four domains that we think about when we want to target our women, and we want to make sure that they at least are informed about breastfeeding. Those are the structural factors, the systems factors, the social and the health service provision factors, as well as our client-specific factors. And to provide more of an example, you know, when thinking about the structural factors, you know, the need, there's an obvious need to return to school. But in returning to school as opposed to returning to work, there may be less flexibility in the school system to encourage any kind of breastfeeding, as well as some systems factors, particularly among our Hispanic young ladies. Religious doctrine are things that are said to them that may encourage or prohibit breastfeeding. And when thinking about social and health provision factors, the need of support opportunities from other breastfeeding moms, obviously, you know, the younger you are, probably less likely you have witnessed another woman breastfeeding. And so being able to provide those examples, particularly in the family or among other friends or whomever they may know. And then thinking about client factors, the mother's age, just her, in general, she may be less receptive to breastfeeding, as well as whether breastfeeding occurred in the context of some type of relationship as opposed to an abusive or another casual encounter. So this is the general service flowchart that starts from whether some service provider has referred this adolescent to Families First to receive services, Also, once that happens, the doula staff assesses the young lady as well as assesses their capacity to provide services to her in the context under which, you know, she's currently in. And then they go through the enrollment and they can receive up to 9 weeks of prenatal support depending on the time that she is enrolled in the program. Doulas also make every attempt to be there for her labor and delivery of the baby, to be there at the initial hours of life to encourage breastfeeding. And then once the baby is born, also to provide services to the client the 12 weeks after she is delivered, just to remain a support system for her before, during, and after delivery of the child. And then once the young lady goes through the program and is discharged, you know, we ask her about feedback and how she thought her experience was. So just a bit about our quantitative factors. We try to take everything into consideration, and each client has a record from the time that she is enrolled to the time that she is discharged from the program. And so there are 7 indicators that we use to evaluate, to see, you know, what's going on. So, for example, the demographic factors, we take into account race, age, for health indicators, we look at self-reported physical health, mental health, sexual health, all the way through prenatal and labor and delivery, where we even assess the baby's condition at time of birth, whether breastfeeding was actually initiated, and then during weekly postpartum visits, whether breastfeeding has continued throughout the course of her enrollment. And then, you know, we have quantitative factors, but there's always a qualitative side of that, that the numbers just don't tell. And so we sat down with the doulas in groups as well as individually to tap into what, when they think of breastfeeding, what are they thinking of? And also, what are the common factors that are associated with initiation and continuation, as well as what are those things that inhibit breastfeeding initiation and continuation? We get some success stories, and we also look at the observation notes that are recorded in the client's records before she has the baby, during labor and delivery, as well as afterward. And so now we'll get into the findings. So what we have, about a 60-40 split in terms of our African American young ladies and our Hispanic young ladies. And it was a total of, over the course of 8 years that this program has been in existence, there were 459 young girls who were enrolled in the program, which averaged out to be about 60 a year, who we followed over the course of the time frame. And then among the young ladies who enrolled, we looked at school status to see, you know, were they enrolled in school, had they dropped out of school. And what we found was that just about a half and half split of young ladies who were either attending school or who had not, who were no longer enrolled in school at the time that they were enrolled in the program. And what we also, there is a bit of a split in terms of race and ethnicity. We found that a large majority of the African American girls who were enrolled in the program were attending school, whereas a large portion of the Hispanic young ladies who were enrolled in the program were not enrolled in school. So this just basically provides a glimpse into one of the barriers that may have an impact on breastfeeding initiation and particularly breastfeeding continuation. Also, thinking about living arrangements, so giving some thought to one of the structural factors that may also impact breastfeeding, and think about the stability of where a young lady is living at the time when she has to make this decision about whether or not to breastfeed. And what we found was that about 53% or half of the clients that were enrolled in the program were living with parents, but then you have another half who were living either with relatives or friends or father of the baby. And so, and then another 13% who didn't even report their living arrangements. And so obviously this can have a great impact on breastfeeding, and you know, it may essentially preempt any decision about breastfeeding because they're, you know, thinking of, maybe thinking about other things like their living situation. And also we got a glimpse into father's involvement with the mom, and we found that about half of the fathers gave money and supported the young lady emotionally, and that also about half spent time with them on a regular basis. Additional findings, we also found that about half of our young ladies who were enrolled in the program did initiate breastfeeding, and that of the 459 who were enrolled, 449 had actually delivered at the time that we ran these analyses, and about half of the doulas actually were able to attend birth. And then thinking about breastfeeding, although only 48% initiated breastfeeding at the time of birth, that number jumped to 63% by the first visit from the doula, which was 1 to 3 days from the time that she had delivered the baby. And then it goes back down from there. So we asked the doula to think about what comes to mind when you think about breastfeeding, and some of the things that rolled off of their tongue so that it was natural. And we also tried to get, they also tried to tap into what's important to their teen moms. So it's easy. Some said that's what came up. It saved money, no bottles, so no hassle there. But also they, you know, in being perfectly transparent, you also have to at least attend to the fact that it can be stressful and it can be sometimes painful. And then what are some of the common factors that they said that encourage young adolescent mothers? And, you know, just basically providing the education early on that it makes the stomach go down and that you can lose weight. And also that they encourage these teen moms to make their own decision about whether or not to nurse. And then some of the things that were identified as barriers is that it hurts and that my mama doesn't want me to do it. And so those are the words of some of the young ladies who said, you know, who provided examples, concrete examples as to why they decided to bottle feed instead. And then, and thinking about some of the strategies that the doulas did actually use to promote breastfeeding among adolescent moms, you know, first you have to build trust and rapport with them before you even start to talk about breastfeeding. And they, you know, they talked a lot about complimenting them and breaking down some of those walls among the adolescent moms to reach the idea about breastfeeding. So a lot came before the topic of breastfeeding ever came up. And then another thing that we, just to give you an idea of some of the thoughts that were written down about their experience, either during these prenatal visits or during some of the postpartum visits, is, you know, doulas echo that many of their clients were affected by how people looked at them in public. And if they were judged or scorned or anything like that, that would deter them. People gonna look at me funny. These are verbatim quotes from our young ladies, which gives the authentic voice and not what we said. And then also, in thinking about the hours and the days following delivery, this is a vital time to make that decision. And what one doula reported was that the mother of the baby, that's the MOB, that's short for them. They just, you know, they're writing notes and they're trying to go fast. So not getting enough breastfeeding support and discouraged. And the lactation consultant said, give bottle, baby not trying to breastfeed. Or even in the hospital room where the bag that's been prepared for the breastfeeding mom has free samples of formula in it. So these are, you know, literally quotes that are coming from the doula who is in the room with the mother and trying to support her in this process and having, you know, to essentially fight against free samples of formula. And then just a note about, you know, and thinking about what others' opinions are, you know, father of the baby, I asked baby's father, how did he feel about breastfeeding? And he heard it was good and that he wanted her to do it. And the client said she would try. And then also in terms of pain, need to keep an eye on breastfeeding and ensure that pain does not persist, but also other issues, other factors that impact breastfeeding, you know, that come into play even among adolescent moms, depression, this obvious fight between breastfeeding and bottle feeding, and just simple milk production in and of itself. So finally, just a note about implications and recommendations. Obviously, returning to school, at least for a portion of our young ladies, is an impending need, and being able to have adequate support available to young moms as they return to work or school, depending on their age, is important to address when you're thinking about this population. And then giving some thought to systems factors. Adolescents obviously tend to be very sensitive about the opinions of others. So maintaining a culture where breastfeeding is normal and natural may increase breastfeeding among this community. And finally, just a couple of other notes about social and health provision factors. Health providers provide a very vital role in encouraging young moms to breastfeed and acknowledging the benefits that are important to them in the hospital, and also in their postpartum visits is very important to encourage them to not only start but to continue. And then finally, in terms of accounting for circumstances that may interfere with young moms and child well-being, obviously, you know, in building a rapport about the young ladies and getting them to talk a bit about other issues that may influence them that, you know, seem more important to them than even breastfeeding. You know, you have to address those before you can get to that breastfeeding discussion. So that's it. So thank you all for engaging me in that.